Today's scripture is taken from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, and it reads, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, 'Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while.' For many were coming and going, they had no leisure even to eat, and they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat.' But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?' And he said to them, 'How many loaves have you? Go and see.' When they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples to set before the people, and he divided the 2 fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jacob, for reading scripture and for Kimmy and the wonderful children's time. When I emailed her the scripture passage this week, I had no idea she'd bring snacks for everyone, so that was a nice surprise. Let us pray. Gracious Creator, I ask that the words of my mouth, the reflections of our hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, for you are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So the month of July, I hope you've been thinking about the 3 challenges that I gave you. First, to break routine. Second, to reflect on Jesus Christ. And third, to show your faith through your acts of kindness or helping others in what you do. I realized yesterday during a Saturday VBS that the children, in a way, were doing these challenges, and I had never told them to do them. They have definitely broken routine. If you were to ask the children what they would normally be doing on a Saturday during summer, they probably would say, "Oh, I'll be playing in Alpine Park, or I'll be going to my friend's house, or I'd be going to grandma's house and she'll make me lots of good food." But no, they gave up their Saturday, their summer Saturdays, to spend at church for vacation Bible school, and they're having so much fun. They're reflecting on Jesus through songs, through activities in their Bible study classes with their teachers, and having fun at the same time. And third, they're also showing acts of kindness. My office is across from one of the younger children's classroom, and it's fun that the lesson they learned yesterday was about being kind to each other, to not spread rumors or gossip, and to say kind words. So as my office door was open and the class was open, I could hear, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, good job, good job, good job, that's nice," all these words of affirmation to each other. Now, we know that I think every time they said something good, they were given a stamp, and at the end of the VBS, they can collect prizes with all the stamps. But it was still wonderful to hear the children say all these words of affirmation. They were acting on their faith through the wonderful VBS program. The children have done all these things. They've broken routine. They've reflected on Jesus, and they've shown their faith. And this morning, we're going to talk about how we can also reflect on Jesus and look at this morning's passage. Now, I want us to think first about if everyone hopefully has at least broken their routine, eaten at a different restaurant, driven to work a different way, or watched a different TV show, or just done something that was not routine this past week. Because when you break routine, then you are also, in a way, breaking patterns, which is good. Patterns are something that we know and recognize that we all need in life. The patterns can be good things. For example, if you learn CPR, you know there is a set pattern of steps that you must do. To CPR, you must first always check the airways to make sure they are not blocked. Then you would do the chest compressions for CPR, and then you would do mouth-to-mouth breathing. But you must do those in that pattern and in that order. And is Ronald here, our doctor? He might be able to help later. And if you're a teacher, you know that you in your classroom, you have a set pattern. You have the children probably enter quietly. You have the children sit at their assigned desk. You have the children take out their work for the day. It's a set pattern that if you didn't have as a teacher, you know, it would probably be chaotic or you wouldn't have good discipline in the classroom. Patterns are important. We in the church even have patterns in worship service. We have the children's time, we have the scripture, we have the message. We have a pattern that we follow. In communion itself, there is a pattern we follow. In communion, we have an invitation to the Lord's table, words that are spoken first. We have the blessing of the elements of the bread and the juice. And then we have the sharing with each other of the elements. The body of Jesus Christ broken for us, the blood shed for us. Can you imagine if we broke that pattern and one Sunday for communion, I just started passing out the bread and Andy Louie, the worship leader, just went with me with the juice before words of invitation, before the Lord's Prayer, before the usual pattern that is there for a reason? Patterns are, we understand, important in our life, and I think Jesus understood that as well in his ministry. He set a pattern. He had a pattern of living a simple life. We know that when Jesus came out of the wilderness, he was tempted by the devil with wealth and luxury and unlimited food and buildings and cities before him. And Jesus resisted the devil. He resisted those temptations. He led a simple life. Jesus also developed a pattern of traveling from city to city, sharing the good news of God's love. He didn't stay in just one area and speak to just a small group of people. He had the pattern of always traveling, always knocking on people's doors to be welcomed into their home. And then the last pattern, he was always sharing about God's love. Whatever he did, his sermons, his teachings, his preachings, his healing of people, his serving of others was all to show God's love. He established that pattern. So Jesus had the disciples, and they then also continued that pattern. If you remember last Sunday's message about the disciples and how they were told to go in groups of two to share the good news. They also followed the pattern of living simply, of traveling to city to city and going into different homes and also sharing God's love to all. A good pattern was developed then by Jesus and the disciples. So then when we come to this morning's passage, as the disciples have returned from going out in twos, they come back to Jesus. They look at the pattern that they have developed. But it's interesting to think about this, that as the disciples were developing a good pattern of living simply, of sharing the good news of God's love, of going to city, as they were doing these good patterns, the people in the society of Jesus' times, they had developed bad patterns. The people of Jesus' time, they had developed bad patterns of worship. They didn't have Sabbath holy days. They didn't practice those days. They began to worship false idols. They filled the marketplaces before the temples with a marketplace of tables where they were selling goods and sacrifices to the altars of the different gods. That was a bad pattern they have developed. The people had developed a pattern of breaking the commandments that had been given to their ancestors, the Israelites, when they were freed. The people broke sin. They broke commandments. They sinned. They committed adultery. They were greedy. They were killing each other. They developed these patterns of breaking the great commandments. The people also had developed a pattern of forgetting to put the Lord first. Instead, they put wealth and fame and fortune first. They forgot to put the Lord first. Now, Jesus was fully aware of what was happening and that the people had developed these bad patterns. So Jesus, with his disciples, wanted to start a better way of life, a better pattern of life for the people. So in this morning's passage, we look and see what Jesus did. And one of the first things of this pattern of good life that he was teaching the disciples and the people was to take care of themselves. The second thing he was showing them was to show compassion for each other. And the third thing he was showing them is to remember that God always gives you what you need. So to take care of themselves, to show compassion also for others, and to remember that God always provides for you with what you need. And we arrive in this morning's passage with the disciples returning home, and they gather around Jesus, and they tell him all that they have done. In Mark 6, verse 31, he says to them, "Then come away to a deserted place, all by yourselves to rest for a while. For while many were coming and going, they had no leisure even to eat. The disciples had done such great work that Jesus understood they must also take care of themselves. That is a good pattern of a Christian life. We must also care for ourselves. When we care for ourselves, then we are glorifying God. When we care for ourselves, then we are understanding that our body is God's temple. And when we care for ourselves, then we are being a good witness because we have the energy and the spirit then to share what God's plans are for everyone in the world. So we know that the disciples, they went away in a boat and they went to a deserted place by themselves. And they prayed and they probably ate and they nourished themselves well so that they were ready then for the next mission they did with Jesus. And as the disciples were traveling, many saw them in the boat. They saw the boat slowly going from one part of the shore, most likely to the other part of the shore. So all the people around the towns ran on foot to meet them on the other side where the boat would eventually land. They probably prepared for this time, knowing they would be able to see the disciples and most importantly, hear Jesus. Because by then the rumors had been going around that there was this man named Jesus saying these wonderful and amazing words and telling about how God's love was available for all. The people were excited to hear this. They prepared probably for this trip they would make to meet Jesus. And if you go on a trip, you most likely pack and prepare as well. You bring the things you need, and for the people of those times, they probably brought their own food with them. So later, remember that point that when we talk about how many foods was gathered by the disciples, think about if it reflects maybe what truly was there. So the disciples, they cared for themselves, and we must learn to care for ourselves first as well. Think about this. If you were having to have surgery, would you want a doctor who is sick to show up that day to do the surgery on you? Or would you prefer a doctor who is healthy? Would you prefer a doctor who shows up to the emergency room to do your surgery, who maybe his eyes are bloodshot and his nose is running and he's always going like this, and for some reason his hands are shaky that day, he definitely seems unhealthy? No, you would be screaming, "Nurse, stop him," right? You would probably be running out of the hospital. Ronald's laughing, I don't know. No, you would prefer a healthy doctor to show up to do your surgery. Someone who has steady hands, someone who has clear eyes, someone with a bright and shiny face and not red nose or runny eyes. That is the same for when we minister and evangelize to people. We must show up healthy ourselves. We must be healthy in body and spirit, and then we are able to evangelize and share God's love with people as well. So the disciples, Jesus was so smart, had rested after their journey of two by two. And they had rested, they had eaten, they had prayed together on the boat. So then when they came to the shore, they were ready for the thousands of people that had gathered on the shore to hear Jesus speak. The disciples were healthy and ready, and the people who gathered knew that. They saw Jesus, and they saw the healthy disciples who had taken care of themselves. So now, after taking care of themselves, the disciples were ready to show compassion, and we ourselves must be ready to show compassion after we have taken care of ourselves. We know that as Jesus went ashore, he saw the great crowd before them. He had compassion for them. The scripture says very well in verse 34 that he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now remember last Sunday's message as well, where we talked about what the disciples took with them on their missions of two. They took with them a shepherd's staff. And Jesus here is reminding the disciples that there are the people, the sheep without a shepherd. They need to be guided just as shepherds guide the sheep as well. And Jesus then began to teach the people many things so long that when it grew late, the disciples said to him, "This is a deserted place, and the hour now is very late." The disciples asked Jesus to send the people away to go into their surrounding country and villages to buy food for themselves to eat. The disciples forgot to show compassion. Where is the compassion when they are telling Jesus to send people away? People who had probably prepared and traveled far to hear Jesus speak, and now the disciples are saying, "Jesus, send them away?" But Jesus reminds them of compassion, just as we are reminded today to have compassion for all people. Because Jesus answers them to give them something to eat, and then the disciples say, how is that possible? We only have 200 denarii. It might be worth $50 in U.S. dollars today, and we know 50 U.S. dollars today would never, ever buy enough food for 2,000, 3,000, let alone 5,000 people. But he says to the disciples, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And the disciples do just that. They go and see. They go amongst the crowd. But the people, remember, the people, because they had bad patterns, were not willing to share their food. They probably hid their food. So when the disciples asked if they had food, all the people that had gathered, people who had prepared to go see Jesus, who probably took food from their homes with them, or even bought food throughout the day, the people hid their food. They were continuing those bad patterns. So when the disciples came back to Jesus, they said, all we have, amongst all these people, we know at least 5,000 from the scripture passage. All they could find was 5 loaves and 2 fish. Was that enough to feed the people? Jesus knew that compassion must be shown, and he said, yes, just these 5 loaves and 2 fish will be enough to feed the people. Jesus took the elements, took the fish and the bread. He blessed them. He looked up to heaven and blessed them, and then began to share it with the people. And the people sitting around, all the crowds of people with the bad pattern, saw what was happening. They saw that Jesus was blessing the Lord and thanking God first and sharing what he had. Jesus' compassion of sharing just the measly 5 loaves and 2 fish was showing the other people their need for compassion as well. We today need to remember we must have compassion for all people. There's a story about a woman who in the 1950s, her name was Eunice. She saw around her how in 1950, everything was unjust and unfair for people with intellectual disabilities, how the people were not treated right. She saw that many children with disabilities didn't even have a place to play or sports to play in. So this woman named Eunice, she took action. And soon she began to have like a summer day camp for the children. She used her own backyard as a place for children to gather and to do sports and have summer day camp. Her goal was for the children to be able to learn to participate in sports, to learn their strengths and what they could do, and that they could accomplish all things. And soon, throughout the 50s and 60s, she continued this camp so much so that this woman, whose name was Eunice Kennedy Shriver, the relative of President John F. Kennedy, began to make the camp bigger and grow to bigger spaces, so that by July of 1968, the first International Special Olympics Games were held in Chicago. Her wonderful compassion that she had for the children and people with disabilities grew into this wonderful thing that many, many years later, yesterday in Los Angeles, the Special Olympics opening ceremonies happened. It's a reminder for us to show compassion for all people, to remember that we are able to help each other and to help all persons as well. To show compassion is just as Scripture reminds us to do. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 to 3, that if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, this will make my joy complete. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. We must remember to show compassion for all, just as Jesus showed compassion by not turning the people away, by sharing the small amount of food that he had. And before you knew it, over 5,000 people were fed. Because I truly believe that, yes, it was a miracle, but the miracle was the change of hearts, the breaking of the bad patterns in the people, because they saw that the small amount of food was being shared by Jesus and the disciples, that soon they must have taken out the food they hid, the food they were hoarding, and began to share it with other people around them. So yes, 5,000 plus were fed that wonderful day. And then finally, if you can remember to take care of yourself and to show compassion for others, you must also follow the pattern of remembering that God always provides what you need. I encourage you now to maybe just take a minute to, on the back of your worship bulletin, write down a list of things in your life that you need. Write as many things as you can in just a minute. Okay, so I'm sorry it's a short minute, but hopefully you've been able to write down a couple of things. You probably wrote down things like food and water, or if you love desserts like me, you might have listed some desserts down, or home, or car to get to work, or friends, or family. Many things. Hopefully people were able to write down many things that they think they need. Research shows that all these things that you think you need can actually be narrowed down to just three categories. Category first is food or sustenance. You need food to live and survive. The second category is shelter, somewhere to put your head down at night or somewhere to stay warm in the cold days. And then the third thing is love. If you put love, you need to realize there's all these things that fall into that category. But first, the thing you need to live, you would say, is food, delicious food to eat, food to keep you healthy and nourished, even water in your body. We know we need water to survive and live. But do you know that even for food, the most important thing to remember is we are spiritually fed by Jesus. So we need Jesus first. And then we also might have put something like home or a workplace or car to get to work. All these things kind of fall under the shelter category of the three things, food, shelter, and love, that they say everyone needs to live. This is security for us. This is a place to be comforted. This is a place that provides us for warmth. This is a place that we all need to have in our lives. But do you realize that the most important home that we have in our life is our home with Jesus Christ? That Jesus Christ gives us eternal life, which is even more important than the roof over our head. And the third thing is love. I know when I asked this of my friends a while back when we were in college, we were writing a list of all the things we wanted. All my girlfriends put a husband. They need a husband. They need a husband. They need a husband. You know. Or now maybe if you're a married couple, you might say, well, we need children. Children to love us. Or children, you might say, you really need your parents because your parents give you the home and the food and important snacks for the day. But it all boils down to love. The love of a spouse, the love of children, the love of parent, the love of brother, the love of sister, the love of friend and neighbor, the person sitting next to you. It all boils down to love. Because then we need to differentiate what we need in life and what we want in life. You want a spouse or you want children, but you need to understand those aren't the important things. Some families might not have children. Some people might not have found spouses, but they have to have the most important thing in their life for love, and that, again, is the love of Jesus Christ. So food and shelter and love, all those things narrow down to having Jesus Christ. And that then follows a good pattern of remembering that God always provides what we need, and what we need is Jesus Christ in our life. I close now with a fun example that I learned about. Imagine a lollipop, and I apologize, I had one in my purse, but I forgot to bring it down. You know what a lollipop is, right? You hold it with a stick, and it's round usually, or if you go to Disneyland, they have those great big rainbow circled ones. A lollipop is fun. It's candy, hard candy. It's delicious, it's sweet, it's tasty, and you can lick it and eat it and enjoy it. But when you're done with the lollipop, what is left? Just the stick, right? And then do you realize that if you didn't have the stick and that lollipop, it really isn't a lollipop anymore? It's just a ball of hard candy in your hand, and it's kind of awkward to eat without the stick? Well, life is like that. We always think we need these things, but really these are things we just want. It's the lollipop, the hard candy, all these things that we want. A nice house, a car, money, a boyfriend, a spouse. These are things we want. But what we really need is just that stick that is constant and always will be there and is what we need to be able to have the lollipop. So we must remember that God always provides us with what we need, and that is Jesus Christ, that will always be there, that is constant for us, and is the stick of the lollipop, as you will say. So then when Jesus and his disciples shared just the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, they were able to feed over 5,000 people because they showed to take care of themselves. They showed compassion, and they showed that God provides what they needed, just as we learn that today as well. Amen.